What are we starting with this week?
YouTube comment of the month.
Gosh darn right.
Yes.
Congratulations.
I'm getting the hang of this.
Hey, well good done. Job. Hey, look at you.
Thank you.
So the YouTube comment of this month comes from Dara Simpson, and it says, is Beyonce not the world's alpha? See, in reference to last week's episode, which was about alpha male.
Oh,
myth.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe Beyonce is the world's alpha.
The world's sigma, maybe.
Beyonce would definitely be a sigma, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she would be.
So I do have a question before we start. So if you're listening to this on audio, then head to YouTube.
You mean that's not the question?
No.
No.
No. Okay. No. Usually I start these with a question. You'll know. You've
we
been
like
here.
Opinions on the Beyonce thing as well.
Sure.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that, sure, that too. Question one, is Beyonce the world's alpha? Question two, how old are you?
Never ask a lady her age.
You can ask a bitch their age, though. Oh, I can't say that. I'm sorry.
Demonetized.
Put that on the TikTok.
If you want to answer those questions, you're listening on audio, head over to YouTube at youtube.com/SciGuys and let us know in the comments of this video. Let us know. Let us know.
Let us know.
Let us know.
Start the show.
Start the show. Hello and welcome to SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jem and Luke Cutforth.
That is me.
G'day.
This week, we're talking about Nazi nuclear cubes.
Very fun topic.
Nuclear cubes.
Yes.
Is it the Tesseract from Captain America, the First Avenger?
Jeff, you just ruined the whole episode.
I'm genuinely so sorry.
Thought that we would last longer in this episode before a Captain America reference. Like, I'm not gonna lie.
Straight out. But there was a Nazi cube in that film.
What? I mean,
are we talking about that?
The Nazis had it. Well, they weren't. Had Hydra kind of separated from the Nazis at that point, didn't they?
Yeah, but they're basically Nazis.
I had no idea there were Nazis in the Marvel comic universe. Cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Captain America punches Hitler in the face.
Even the films of those that I've seen, I haven't paid attention to.
Mm. Why? Why watch them?
They're totally fun. I just don't commit them to memory.
You don't take on information that's not relevant to you.
Exactly.
That makes perfect
sense. They're perfectly fun.
Yeah, they're perfectly fun.
They are perfectly
fun. Love you, Disney.
Daddy Disney.
Big Daddy Disney.
So,
Big Daddy Amazon Prime.
Okay. These are jokes that aren't... You can't make these.
Okay.
So, the Nazis in World War II had a nuclear weapon program. Do you guys know about that?
No.
You didn't know about that?
No.
No? No? Well, they did have one. And it went ahead 2 years before the American program went.
When you say went ahead, do you mean begun?
Began.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. No, they didn't go ahead with any... No, they're...
Yeah.
No.
That would be different history.
Yeah, if you didn't know that they'd you know, use nuclear weapons, that would be something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be something. That'd be a big miss. No, so they started the project 2 years before Americans started it. And we'll kind of talk through it, but obviously it would seem that it did not go very well.
Mm.
Right? Mm. Luckily, obviously.
Because we're not speaking German.
Well,
that would be a giveaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the world is speaking English, so take from that what you will.
Means nothing.
Colonialism?
Yeah.
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 That's actually the saying of Britain in historically, isn't it? Take from that what you will. When entering a country.
No, my point is I just for anyone that might not have understood that, I'm not trying to say that Britain is as bad as the Nazis. What I am saying is that people often say, well, Britain and America did have eugenics and the Nazis kind of picked up on that. What I'm saying is that we view ourselves as a very good country.
Mm.
And when we talk about a bad country, you know, and they're a bad government from a country. We talk about the Nazis in Germany and we say, well, we're not all speaking German now, but the world is speaking English and we view that as a benevolent thing.
I don't view it as either. I just view it that the Germans didn't invent the nuclear bomb early enough.
Oh, yeah. No,
that's all I take from it.
Absolutely. Like, again, like we're comparing sort of apples to Nazi oranges here.
Mm.
Like Nazis, awful, but... Mm.
Colonialist apples.
Yeah. Colonialist apples. Yeah.
They're better.
Yeah.
But they're not, like, perfect.
I always found that funny about the Churchill statue thing last year. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
People were like, well, if it wasn't for Churchill, we'd all be speaking German.
As if, yeah, but thanks to Churchill, India's speaking English. So, you know, like...
It's not the German I was concerned about. It's not the speaking German I was concerned about.
No, yeah, I think before we get into this, because we're talking about Nazis, we might be talking about other things around that time. And obviously, one thing being bad does not make the opposition to it immediately good. Mm-hmm. Makes them better, does not make them inherently good. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Churchill, still a big old tosser. Yep. We don't like him. So the Nazis had two nuclear weapons programs, and it, obviously during the Second World War, they made 1,200 cubes of uranium, with about 600 of those end up in the US at the end of the war, some of them being put towards the US effort, which, look, again, this is, I don't want this to come off the wrong way, because I don't want people saying, oh, sympathizing with the Nazis, oh, you hate the US so much that you're going to make them out to be the bad guys against Nazis, because, again, Nazis are the worst. Just the worst, okay? Mm. But it is odd to me that it's, like, Nazis inventing nuclear weapons, like, awful and terrible, which, you know, obviously, yeah, genocide. But America taking the uranium cubes from the Nazis and using some of those towards their own effort to exterminate life using a nuclear bomb is good and, at the very least, neutral.
But would they not have taken those after they've already dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki and then have never used them before?
They weren't necessarily used specifically for that, but the Germans surrendered before the Japanese. Right.
Okay, but what I mean is that, like, sure, you know, the record so far of those countries has been that they did this twice on two occasions and then they went never again, and they never have. And I think that's, when it comes to specifically nuclear weapons, that's a good record, right?
Twice is a bit
much. But of course, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, once is a bit much.
Emphatically. Like, yeah, well, one, you have to do it once to go, what have we got?
No, they really did tests.
Yeah, but I don't think even tests can tell you. Like,
you turn sand to glass using a bomb in a desert. Islands. Okay,
yeah.
They did tests.
Okay, so they knew what they were doing.
We're doing an episode on the Manhattan Project soon. They did tests. Oh. Okay. Okay,
right.
You don't drop that bomb and go, whoops.
Oh, didn't expect.
Was there no record of people being like, whoa, we didn't realize what we had?
People will say that, but, like,
yeah,
ultimately,
sure.
Like, ultimately, and dropping them on, they dropped them on cities.
Yeah, all I mean,
sure,
is that
the cities
so
had
far,
like, had a military basis.
Yeah,
but still, it wasn't there were so many casualties there that affected the country for so long that it's just like, even once is
absolutely
too much.
No, of course, I just mean since those horrible things happened, the countries that have nuclear weapons have shown themselves to be good custodians of those nuclear weapons. In terms of not using them.
It's been 70 years.
Yeah.
Not even.
Well, yeah.
My point is, and I think this is an interesting conversation to be had, and I'm glad we're having it, but my point is that I think that it's only a matter of time until it happens again. Do you know what I mean? In that we can say, the people that have, the countries that have those weapons have been good custodians of them for, like, it was since the first two bombs were dropped.
Mm.
But at some point that's going to end, if we still have the nuclear weapons.
Perhaps. Yeah.
But it opened up a can of worms, like Pandora's box, where it's like, well, now that we know those exist, if you don't have one, then
you're at a disadvantage.
You're at a disadvantage. You're
but
always
what
a threat
is the solution
them.
To that? That's the thing, is you can say that, but what is the solution to it when you have a system where countries don't have, like, different countries, you're not centrally controlling all the countries.
Exactly.
I don't know what the solution is.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Superman 4 had a pretty good solution to it.
What was that?
Superman takes them and throws them into the sun.
Well, but Superman's not real.
So we make Superman.
Okay.
Has anyone got in contact with Krypton recently?
Any things we could maybe do now?
That's incredibly poor taste.
Well, then where's Superman?
I don't know. Probably blown up on Krypton, man.
Then where do we get a Superman?
I don't know. We find one. We make one. I don't know.
But not from Krypton.
I can't come up with all the answers, Jamp. Yeah, sorry, Luke. Go on. You were saying something interesting.
Was I? It's also been 80 years, is it not? No, 75.
45.
What?
45, It was in 45.
So 75 years. No.
Ago.
No, it's been 81 years. No, 80, 76 years. God, I'm not very good at maths.
Jesus.
So it's 76 years. Okay, great. I guess the problem is that once you discover that technology and other countries with whom you're not friendly have discovered that technology and you don't have any mechanism to centrally organize the world, I don't understand. Like, you can criticize it all you like, but I don't understand what the solution is.
No, I'm not saying, oh, we shouldn't have them. Oh, this is the... I'm talking in an ideal world. We shouldn't have them, right? And I understand that there is not really much of a solution. That's what I'm saying. Like, Pandora's box is open now. Mm. What can you do?
Mm.
But also, it is horrific. It's horrifying. Like, the devastation, wrought by those. And I mean, yeah, thank God Nazi Germany did not get that technology before the rest of the world. Because, I mean, yes, America did incredible and disgusting harm with it.
Mm.
But having the upper hand be handed to the Nazis at that point would have I think probably caused far more devastation.
Mm.
Not that America hasn't done its own fair share of harm, but realistically speaking, probably not as much as would have happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. Yeah.
So, these cubes, get to them in a second. So they had the cubes that went, the 600 of them went to the US, towards the end of the war. And some of them ended up going missing. Quite a few of them ended up going missing, actually.
I've heard about this.
You heard about this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite a few of those cubes went missing because you want a little uranium cube. I think they're about this size.
Right.
They're not large, small cubes that could fit in your hand. But, don't tell anyone that I have this, okay?
Okay.
This is definitely not a Nazi uranium cube that I'm holding in my hand right now.
Yeah.
It's very heavy.
Corey's holding a very black cube painted with the blackest black commercially available paint. Wow, that is so heavy. And thank goodness I'm so strong.
Yes. Ugh, gosh. Can barely even hold it with one hand.
Weakling.
It's very warm as well with all the radiation.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't want to go anywhere.
Must have cancer in my hand now. From all that radiation.
Well, probably.
Thanks,
that'll
man.
Be it.
What the hell are you playing at?
Sorry, bro. No, seriously. A bunch of them went missing. And it's difficult to try and figure out, you know, because anyone can make a cube of uranium, right? Anyone can do that. So how do you figure out?
I can do that.
So put our minds to it. Sure.
I had some uranium.
Well, speak to me after the show. So.
Well, I've already seen your uranium. It's already in a cube. I can just take yours.
No, it's my uranium cube.
It's mine when I make it.
Here's when you die of cancer. I'll just take it back.
I'm not leaving it to you.
So,
Jamp, you will be the custodian.
So,
yeah.
So, the Nazi uranium cubes, some of them went missing. And there's an issue of trying to find them, obviously, because, you know, anyone can make a cube of uranium. How do you tell one cube of uranium from another cube of uranium? You know, it's not necessarily, it's not quite as easy as one might think. In fact, it's probably harder than one might think.
Mm.
And we've developed kind of new techniques in order to try and figure out how to tell real ones from fake ones, or try and figure out which ones are the genuine articles. And I'll get onto that the specifics of that kind of in a bit. But the thing is that we wanted a way to figure out, like, because they're being sold in the black market. We want to know which ones are real, which ones aren't, where they ended up, how they ended where they are.
They're being sold on the black market. As like just
collector's items,
but they're radioactive. Are they in something?
Yeah, put them in a box.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen them. From what I've read, they've been used as sort of collector's items. Although it's uranium, so probably could. I mean, don't know how much. Depends how much. No, you could probably still use it for whatever nuclear mishap you wanted to go about.
Such a weird species where like a block of uranium. And then the exactly identical block of uranium that happens to have come from Nazi Germany, but is the same thing. They have different prices.
Yeah.
We are so weird.
Oh, yeah. Well,
just the novelty. Isn't
yeah.
It's NFTs all over again, isn't it?
Sure.
And that's why NFTs really wind me up.
I'm aware.
Yeah. So much. So frustrating.
Just you wait till SciGuys launches an NFT.
No. So the Nazis made these cubes. So they were made in two different labs.
Out of interest, sorry, quickly. Why cubes?
I don't know. Probably just an easy shape to stack and to have, and easy enough to like create, you know?
Cool. Radioactive Tetris.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So there were different labs that did it. You guys know Werner Heisenberg, Werner Heisenberg.
Is that the Heisenberg uncertainty principle guy?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Are you certain about that?
Oh, yeah. Like
90% sure.
Yeah?
I'm in a quantum state.
But on principle. I'm never fully certain.
Yeah, so you're right. So he actually was working in the lab with these. It was his lab. And he was working in Berlin initially and then moved to a secret lab in Heigerloch. In the Alps to avoid the Allied troops, because obviously he was German and
a scientist
and in Germany, and he wanted to avoid the Allied troops. He wasn't specifically a Nazi. He was against the Nazis. He spoke out against for a brief period he spoke out against the Nazis, and they kind of kept his head down for a bit, and then worked on the nuclear program there as well. So apparently his hope was that, and this is very controversial, the stuff that he did. Apparently his hope was that the government would not sort of get its claws in and they would kind of lose power, it would blow over, and it'd be best to stay on the better side of them rather than make them an enemy for the period that they were in power, you know?
But, I mean, there's a difference between, like, just hanging out and waiting and, like, and then, like, working on their nuclear program.
Knowing that you're the foremost sort of, and we'll get into Heisenberg in a bit, but knowing that you're the foremost, one of the foremost scientists on this topic, if you were to turn down working on this project.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they're not going to be like, madness. Oh, okay, no, we'll just go to the other guy.
Oh,
like,
that's understandable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I get it. You don't want to work for us, so you're not against us, but you know, you don't want to help us out. That's fine. That's not a very Nazi thing to do, you know?
No, they weren't the most considerate, were they?
Yeah. No. And they did not. They didn't really care.
No.
So he was working on that. We'll get into him in a little bit later. So like I said, they took 600 from his lab and shipped them off to the US after they were dug up from a field near where he was working. So apparently some of them might have been used in the American nuclear weapon, sort of in the work on American nukes. But a lot of them belong to collectors. Some of them are with researchers, sort of research institutions. Some of them are with, I think, the American Chemical Society, who were sort of pushing this research to try and figure out which ones were real, which ones were fake. And hundreds of them just disappeared. Which is insane, right?
Yeah.
Hundreds of cubes of uranium just gone.
Where did they go?
Who knows? So the cubes.
I think there's a story about how some countries don't know where all their nukes are as well.
Yeah, there's something.
How do
like,
you misplace them?
There's something like 10,000 nukes missing in the world. I think that's what I read.
Yeah,
there's thousands of nukes missing. I don't know what that means.
Luckily, we'll know if they turn up.
It's true. Yeah.
Wow. We'll know if they blow up.
Let's get the Find My Nuke app.
Did you stick an air tag on them?
No, so the cubes are made from uranium. They're measured about 2 inches on the 2-inch cubes. So, I mean, actually, this is fairly accurate.
That is about that big, yeah.
So a little bit smaller than a chocolate orange,
if you've seen a chocolate orange. A little bit smaller than this. Just a little bit smaller than this cube I've got in my hand.
Wow, that's quite small.
This is small, yeah. So a little, little cube. They're only little cubes of uranium. But obviously, it's uranium, so it weighs quite a bit. It's quite heavy.
Do you know how much it weighs?
Off the top of my head, I don't.
Okay.
No. So the cubes were sort of hung on aircraft cables to make a kind of like chandelier that was put in heavy water. And do you know what heavy water is?
Deuterium.
Yes. Do you know what that is?
It is H2O, where the hydrogen has two neutrons rather than just a proton and an electron.
Yeah, so it's an isotope of hydrogen, which means that a hydrogen atom usually has a proton and an electron. That's a hydrogen atom. Pretty much every other element actually has protons and neutrons, right? Hydrogen is kind of special, and it's only got a proton with no neutrons. Now, you get an isotope of an atom, or you get an isotope of an element if you add or remove a neutron, right? So what makes an element is having the correct number of protons. So all oxygen atoms have 8 protons.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah?
But some have different levels of neutrons.
Yeah, but some... Yeah, no, sorry, you looked sort of in disbelief there, it seems. No. So all oxygen atoms have, I think, 8 protons. Off the top of my head, I hope that is correct.
You are correct.
Yeah. So carbon has 6 protons. So if you were to take two protons away from your oxygen, you'd have carbon.
Incredibly heavy carbon.
With extra neutrons. So you'd have an isotope of carbon, right?
Mm.
So that's all an isotope is. It's an element with the same number of protons, because that's what makes the element, but with a different number of neutrons than it normally has.
And because there's more neutrons, it's heavier.
Mm.
Cool.
Yeah. Makes sense. Or it could have fewer neutrons and it could be lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this hydrogen is an isotope of hydrogen, deuterium. And it's called heavy hydrogen because it's got an extra neutron. It's got a neutron, so it's heavier. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, basically double the mass of a normal hydrogen atom.
Yeah.
Could I just be very clear?
Yeah, do you want to go?
Deuterium is heavy hydrogen. Heavy water is when deuterium is made into a water molecule.
Yeah.
Because you said you said this, and I said, deuterium. And then I then described heavy water, H2O with a heavy hydrogen, two heavy hydrogen atoms. That is incorrect. There's heavy hydrogen is deuterium. When you put deuterium into water, when you create water using deuterium rather than hydrogen, you have heavy water.
Yes. Right.
That is not deuterium. It contains deuterium.
Yes.
I did not want someone to fail their chemistry A level because I messed up.
I understood what you meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but unfortunately, the exam board will not.
But Luke said so. So you can fuse deuterium atoms, like nuclear fusion. And essentially, what happens then is you get a lot of energy being released, right? Get lots of energy coming out. And you can use that energy for nuclear weapons, right? It's basically it's just a lot of heat is produced. Mm-hmm. And so obviously they were trying to use heavy water along with these uranium cubes to start a sort of chain reaction that would be self-sustaining and basically either get energy or create a nuclear explosion, right? And so you could use it for energy or weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the idea. So uranium causes some kind of starts some sort of nuclear chain reaction that becomes self-sustaining, creating a vast amount of energy, which could be used for good purposes, like energy.
Mm.
It's nice to have some energy. Mm. Or for, a weapon. Obviously, it didn't end up actually working out. Apparently, Heisenberg was a bit not quite there. He didn't fully understand it. When he found out about the bomb that was dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, well, the bombs that were dropped on there, he had a few questions and then figured out the things that he'd gotten wrong but the next day. But the questions that he asked apparently suggested that he didn't fully understand at that point how the nuclear weapons worked, if that makes sense. Like, he wasn't quite there,
mm-hmm.
right? But there's also reports that people say, oh, well, actually, one of the reasons that they never got these weapons was a kind of, a Schindler's List situation wherein... He was specifically trying to not make the weapons work.
Sure.
You know?
Well, hey, if that's the truth, well done.
Yeah.
He was a little uncertain about the Nazis. Because
I thought you two would be respectful today, and I thought that I would be making the awful joke.
I did not participate in that.
Why is that an awful joke? Oh, you mean awful as in terrible joke, as in bad?
No, no.
It's not a disrespectful joke.
No, look, it's fine. I'm just...
Heisenberg was uncertain about... the Nazis because he had principles. It's only disrespectful to Nazis. I'm perfectly happy with that.
True. Let's disrespect all Nazis. if you're watching this and you're... No one that's a Nazi would be watching this. Let's be real.
You have no idea, man. This is the internet.
No, trust me. Nazis are not going to watch the three of us. You're ginger.
That's true. Hey, I might... I was always told growing up that I was like Hitler Youth material by my teacher. Because I was fair.
What teacher was saying history? Please, for the love of God, tell me it was your history teacher.
It was my primary school teacher.
Were you taught by a Nazi, Luke?
No. They would just do that thing. You know that thing where they go in primary school and they go like, they point at anyone who's like not Hitler, like the thing that Hitler likes, and they go, you'd be dead, you'd be dead, you'd be dead. And then they go,
you'd be
in the Hitler Youth, you'd be in the Hitler Youth, you'd be in the Hitler Youth.
This is not my primary school experience, no.
Really?
No, that's not a normal experience.
Oh, okay. Right. Would I be killed for being ginger?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was making a joke and you...
Oh, okay.
Was horrifying.
I thought lots of people... I'm pretty sure lots of people had that experience where they... Because it's just about...
Well, probably your entire class, yeah.
It's about making you understand the like, extremes of that period of time.
Yeah, I feel like pointing at all the Jews and blacks and saying, you'd be dead. It's just a little bit like... Maybe that's not the best way to teach them about that, you know?
Traumatizing.
Yeah.
Okay. You'd be a slave. You'd be a slave owner.
The point was just to go, I mean, the experience, I don't remember it being, obviously, because I was not being told I'd be dead, so maybe I had a different experience. But the point was...
I'd be the Hitler youth. Oh, okay.
But the point was to look around.
You got out of this. You got out of this with the best one.
And go, the point that it gave, you know, at least I took away from it, was to go, well, I actually really like all these people and I don't see any of us as different. And why are these arbitrary rules being put on us? That's really messed up. Let's make sure that doesn't happen again. That was the effect. And it was a horrible effect for everybody else who was chosen to be dead. That's very possible.
Yeah. I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
If I was told that in primary school, I would
have. It was really definitely shocking, but it was shocking in the way it was intended to be shocking, mm-hmm. I think.
What got me in primary school was, or in high school, in school in general, was whenever they spoke about black people in any lesson, in PSE, PSHE maybe, or history, or whatever, you always get the little turn to look back at me.
God.
What, the teacher or the students?
The students.
Okay.
You know.
The messed up of that was the teacher.
Well, the teacher would sometimes look. Actually, no, we were doing, I hope, my friend George does not listen to this podcast, and it's a shame that he doesn't, because this is a story that we love to tell. I was in English, and my English teacher, we were doing... To Kill a Mockingbird, and she seemed to feel so awkward about saying any of the words that are present in that book, given that I was the only black person in the class and in the year at the time as well.
Did she make you read it?
She didn't make me read it. She specifically made the rest of the class read out the words because she was too afraid to say it herself. Whenever a passage was coming up with that word, with any of the words in it, even just Negro, she would be too uncomfortable to say it. And
what would she do?
Give it to the rest of the students.
They'd be like, okay, now it's time for you guys to read. There you go.
Oh, right. So she wasn't going, we need to talk about the use of this word.
No.
She was going, hey, 12-year-olds, you read this word.
This was the same class where we had to rate the... Oh, my God. This is an assignment I refuse to do. It was just a quick one that we had to do that day. We had to rate different crimes by how bad they were. Different kinds of murder and different kinds of sex crime that were present in To Kill a Mockingbird.
What?
And
rank them like a tier list.
Yeah, which one was worst? To which one was least bad? And I refused. Because
well done.
That's messed up.
That is weird.
Yeah, I remember I speak to my friend George about this now, and I was like, I remember the time he was like, come on man, just do it. Why are you making such a... I'm like, no man, this is messed up. And now we talk about it, he's like, yeah man, that was messed up.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. So back to the Nazi nuclear cubes. One cube is held in the Pacific Northwest National Library, but no one apparently really knows how it ended up there. Like it just turned up there.
Took out a book from a shelf and it was just hiding behind.
Oh, look at this cube. Wow. Maybe it is just the Tesseract. It's just, you know, dropping around different places.
Yeah.
Maybe there's only one Nazi cube and it's just all in different places.
Oh, like electrons. Yes.
Like the single electron theory.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. What, like electrons, champ? Or like electron?
I gotta think. Has anyone seen two at the same place at the same time?
I'm gonna tell you this. I've never even seen one electron.
No, but there are pictures of multiple electrons.
I'm talking about the cubes now.
Yeah, but I've seen pictures of like Batman next to Bruce Wayne. That mean they're the same person?
To be fair,
people. What?
I've done scenes with myself with split screen. Doesn't mean it's two of me.
That's true, yeah. You've done many music videos with... It's your go-to almost, having
multiple me's, multiple
people
knows.
Multiple people in one music video, yeah. So, yeah, one of them just turned up and they're not really terribly sure how it got there. Apparently, it's labeled a Heisenberg cube because, bear in mind, there were two labs that were working on this. Some of them were Heisenbergs and some of them belonged to another scientist. And... So there are slight differences between them. They've got different coatings on the outside, basically. It's one of the main differences. And so we're trying to figure out how to find the other cubes and how to tell if a cube is a genuine one, you know? So...
Can you, like, carbon date it, essentially?
Yeah, I know you've read the article.
I haven't read
the article.
You've
not read the article?
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
Amazing.
How you get a Geiger counter, you see how many clicks it does, you know how old it is.
Oh, because it decays.
Well, it's not just about how old it is. It's a, yeah, but yeah, that
you
is.
You know how long since it was enriched.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So so there's a doctoral student, Brittany Robertson. Brittany Robertson at the, what's it called? At the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory. I said library earlier. Laboratory. So she's a doctoral student there. And she decided to use a technique called radiochronometry. So yeah, you're right. It's like carbon dating, really. Mm. So do you want to explain carbon dating, either of you?
So you have a half-life of a radioactive substance over an amount of time, whatever the half-life is. In that time, the radioactive substance will become half as radioactive, half of the substance will decay into its, whatever it's called when it's decayed. Mm-hmm. What is it called?
Oh, it'll decay into the sort of more stable form of carbon.
Yeah. And then based on, because mm-hmm. as it halves, it basically tends towards zero, because once it's halved, it halves again and it halves again. Because each second, each radioactive element has a probability of decaying. Basically, if you know the mass and you know how much enriched substance there should be, you can use a Geiger counter, work out how many are decaying each second, and you know how much by that, you know how old it was since it was enriched.
Yeah, so essentially carbon, so it's carbon 14 dating. So we know that carbon, so carbon has six protons mm-hmm. and, you know, sort of the normal sort of carbon that we'd normally talk about, the non-radioactive carbon has six neutrons as well, which would give it an atomic mass of 12. Now carbon 14 has eight neutrons.
Yeah.
Giving it an atomic mass of 14. So essentially, there is carbon 14, like sort of continually made. It's made in nature all the time. I won't go into why, but or how it's made in nature, and so that's taken into your body when you eat, right? Because you eat carbon, right? That's what sugar's made of, mm-hmm. Carbon. So when you're eating that, it gets into your body and it's constantly replenished. So while it decays, usually, you know, normally it's just decaying from your. It'd be decaying from your body. It'd be obviously like Luke's talking about the half-life. So every however long the half-life is, it'll decrease by half. It is, even though it is decaying at that rate, it is going to be replenished in your body to whatever the maximum sort of level of it, mm-hmm. it is, because you're constantly eating, and because it's produced in nature, it keeps on going back into your body. But when you die,
you stop bringing stuff in.
Ah.
Right? So because you stop eating when you're dead, you can then tell, based on the ratio of carbon 14 to carbon 12, normal carbon, and this only works over quite long periods of time because of the half-life of sort of carbon 14. But you can tell, based on the ratio of those two, how long something has been dead for, mm-hmm. which tells you how old it is. And that's what we use. That's how we use carbon dating in looking at fossils and whatnot.
Yeah.
Basically, you can be like, it's got this ratio to that ratio, which means if we assume it had this much, the ratio was this when the thing, like the minute the thing died, then it's been X amount of time since it died because some maths.
Yeah. So like if you imagine, you know what it was supposed to be when it died, and you know the half-life is 50 years. And it's got a quarter left, mm-hmm. then you know it's been 100 years because it halved and halved again.
Well, yeah. So the half-life of carbon 14 is 5,730 years.
All right, more than 50.
Yeah. So which is why you've got you can only work over quite long periods of time, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously,
lots of uncertainty at short periods of time.
Well, yeah. If it's any shorter, then it's like, well, we don't know that it'll even decrease fully by half yet. Mm. You know. So, So yeah, that means that you can then sort of date things using the level of carbon 14 that is in them. And so that was developed by a man named Willard F. Libby in 1946. And it's used to date things from sort of 500 to 50,000 years old. Obviously, any older than that, it starts becoming, there's too much uncertainty. You know, mm-hmm. there's not enough there to really figure out how old it is. So it's used by geologists, anthropologists, archaeologists, just basically, you want to find out how old something that's old is, mm-hmm. you can use carbon dating. So radiochronometry is similar to carbon dating. You just essentially look at the age of a radioactive material other than carbon-14. And it is... The samples are all man-made. That's the difference here, that it's all man-made stuff. So it all obviously comes from, at the very earliest, the start of the radiation age. Radiation era? You know, the nuclear era, nuclear age, all of that, whatever you want to call it. And that was the discovery of fission in 1939. So the oldest thing can really only be that old, which is what, like 82 years old, roughly?
1939. Oh, okay. Then, yeah.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to know. and so yeah, it's a similar process, but it's you know fairly useful to be able to tell how old something is. And so there's a few assumptions that that sort of this model operates under. So it means that basically, the assumptions are that first, the material has remained a closed system since that time. There's not been any sort of loss or gain, like sort of applied to it. So you've not like removed anything from it specifically or like re-enriched it or anything like that. And the second is that the analysis that you're doing is accurate. So
that, yeah, that would apply to pretty much everything.
So you basically have a model age is the point. So that there's a model age, and for that model age to be accurate to the actual age, those are the two main assumptions that you make. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it just seems strange. It's like, count this pile of pennies. Well, assuming I have counted them correctly, there is this many pennies.
Counting a pile of pennies is a little bit more difficult. Is a little bit more easy, sorry, than counting the number of radioactive, like sort of isotopes in a substance.
Depends how many pennies there are.
Well, no, count.
It's quite a lot of pennies.
It's still simple to count the pennies. It's just long.
Sure,
but if you got, you know, you got to remember them. That's quite hard.
No, guys, you're not going to win this one. Counting pennies is easier.
I think with the technology we now have to do this, counting 25 billion pennies one by one would be harder than doing...
You just weigh them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you win.
Yeah. I mean, like, come on. It's
pennies. I can't trust that. What if there are fake pennies in the mix?
Why would there be fake?
Well, that's an assumption, Jamp. You're assuming there aren't any fake pennies in there.
What if there are penny isotopes that are like twice as heavy?
Heavy pennies.
Heavy pennies, yeah.
Guys, you're talking about 2 pence pieces.
Yeah. Are they twice as heavy?
They should be.
No, they won't.
They're not be. They're not.
They're not be.
They're not be.
They're not to be.
Imagine if that was the way that money worked. So that, like,
How heavy would a 50-pound note be?
So heavy.
$100 bill.
No. It only worked so with change, right?
Yeah.
Like a 1 pence coin was sort of 1% of the weight or mass of a 1 pound coin.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Sure.
You'd be able to tell
Wouldn't
how much
be cool
money
for your pockets.
Well, you'd be able to tell how much money.
Either your pockets would be really heavy or the pennies would float away.
Well, no.
Sure, they'd blow away in the wind.
No, it's like between a gram and 100 grams. 100 grams isn't that much.
Yeah, but a gram is not very much.
Wait, 100 grams per pound.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah.
You have
10 pounds is a kilogram.
You're not carrying 10 pounds in 50, coins around in your pocket. You got a 10 pound note for that.
Well, not if you have 10 pounds.
But that
coins.
Would have to be equal.
Well, then you get them traded in.
Yeah, I mean, sure. But how do you get them there?
Well, it's a kilogram, Luke. It's not that heavy.
I'm quite weak.
But for 10 pounds, that's quite a lot of work.
It's a kilogram. It's so light. It's
like carrying a bag of sugar in to get a 10 pound note.
And it's small though. It's not big. It's little. It's easy.
Okay.
It's a little bag of sugar.
Yeah.
It weighs the same as a normal bag of sugar.
Yeah.
Well, it would rip your pockets though. So, So what they've done here is that when these cubes were first made, it was the uranium that they used was fairly pure, but obviously over time it will have transformed into. I say obviously.
Obviously.
The uranium will have transformed into protactinium and thorium.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, clearly. Wow. My iPad has actually just died. I had to remember those words all off the top
well
of my
done.
Head.
Obviously, yeah.
And so, essentially, if you figure out, you know what the half-life of uranium is, and you figure out roughly the sort of approximate ratios of uranium to protactinium and thorium, you can find out how old these cubes are.
And do you do that with a Geiger counter?
I don't think so. So a Geiger counter would measure the sort of radiation coming off of it. You want to measure the ratio of uranium to protactinium and thorium.
But would you not do that with, like, okay, so if you have a certain amount of mass, you know how many, on average, how many decays per second there would be. So you know how many, how much uranium is left compared to the mass of the object you're... so if it's decaying per second, the amount that 10
no,
kilograms...
No, so they separate and quantify the elements.
Really?
Yeah.
But then you destroy the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have your cube anymore.
Well, you could probably... I mean, they probably would maybe take a sample of it then, I guess.
Yeah.
So Robertson basically adapted the normal sort of, or the usual sort of radiochronometry sort of process, and basically took the elements from the cube in the sort of laboratory that she was working in, and figured out what the ratio of those elements were. And it basically... It gave her the idea of when, rather where the original uranium was mined, as well, because she managed to figure out the impurities that were in the cube.
Oh.
And so, based on the specific impurities that were in the cube, she could figure out, okay, well, these impurities would have only been, these impurities sort of indicate this kind of earth, where, so it was mined from here. So you could then test the other cubes as well to see, okay, well, this is where these were mined, and this is when these were made.
So it was. Does that give you a way of knowing, for example, or potentially knowing that these are genuine cubes?
Yeah, because she has a genuine cube,
yeah.
And then she can test the other cubes based on this cube.
Yeah,
and obviously, one of the assumptions is that that cube that she's got is a genuine cube, but that's fairly certain. And so, yeah, like the whole idea is that you can now basically, if you find one of the cubes, you can be like, well, we'll just run this test and see whether it's a genuine one or not.
Mm.
And as well, what is interesting about this is that, like I said, they have different coatings on the cubes to stop the uranium from oxidizing. Now, you know what oxidation is? Of metals.
Yeah, rusting.
It's rust, isn't it?
Well, yeah, so rust really only applies to iron.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, no, like everyone says, oh, this copper's rusted. It's not. It's oxidized. So it's basically, yeah, it's just the metal reacting with the air, essentially.
Cool.
So, you know, copper oxidizes to be that sort of greenish color. Rust is oxidized iron. Yeah, so...
what does uranium turn into when it rusts? Or what happens to it? Uranium oxide?
Yeah, probably something like that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, that is what oxidation is generally, right? Because iron oxide is rust, or it might be iron. I don't know what the actual chemical formula is, but yeah. Yes, is basically the short answer. So... They have different coatings on them to stop the uranium from oxidizing, and the cube that they've got there at the laboratory was coated in styrene, but Heisenberg's lab used a cyanide coating, and from that they figured out that apparently Heisenberg had a cube sent from the other laboratory to his, and so while the cube that they've got isn't technically a Heisenberg cube made at the laboratory, the reason that they've got it is because it was taken from the Heisenberg laboratory. Right, so basically just by looking at the coating. So now you've got a really cool way of figuring out, okay, not only do we know if these are the genuine cubes based on where they were mined and how old they are, but we also know which lab they were from based on the coating from them, which is really cool, right? So it's all of this. We're now able to basically find these Nazi nuclear cubes and determine whether they're actually the sort of Nazi nuclear cubes rather than, say, fakes or anything like that. So if someone's selling one, you can be sure that it is the real one,
test for
and it. Then also take it from them because it's probably illegal to own it, right?
Because it's uranium or because it's Nazi?
Honestly, Luke, pick one.
That's interesting. Is it illegal to sell like Nazi artifacts?
I think it would probably be illegal to sell stolen Nazi artifacts. Yeah, sure.
Stolen Nazi artifacts,
especially
yes.
Nazi artifacts used in nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
So that is the story of the Nazi nuclear cubes. Essentially, they are cubes of uranium that were made during World War II in an effort to create nuclear weapons. But thankfully, they never actually worked. And they were basically taken to America, a bunch of them. But obviously, hundreds of them were lost. And now a doctoral student, I think, has figured out how to sort of test to see if they're the real deal.
Very cool.
It's pretty
good
cool,
news.
I think. You don't think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More or less.
More or less?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's...
Not necessarily something we needed to know, but it's fun for history.
Well, I mean, I think
it's useful.
It's useful, yeah. Mm. I think it's definitely useful. And, it could be applied elsewhere, surely, you know? If we ever lose any more uranium, you know?
And we happen to coat them in different things?
Yeah. Are we mine it from one particular, all from one particular place?
Yeah, the stuff about like the impurities, that's so interesting.
That was very cool. When I read that, I was like, oh, that's smart. That's more than just the sort of basic, like, let's just look to see how old it is. It's like, oh, let's see where it's from as well.
Yeah, very that's cool. Like the a thing I heard recently, again, on No Such Thing as a Fish, lovely podcast that I love.
You're going to have to start paying us if you're going to keep on
talking. They need more shout-outs, don't they?
Sorry, guys.
Supporting the little podcast.
It's just really interesting. It was talking about how one of the evidences that some dinosaurs migrated was because dinosaurs eat stones to help them digest, and we found stones in different areas from that period that were in areas they didn't belong in.
That's so cool.
And so it meant that they were eating them, using them to digest, walking around, migrating, and then pooping them out somewhere else. Oh. And there was no other way that those stones could get there. There was no rivers or anything. So yeah.
That's so cool. Wow. I can't remember the name of it, but there's this particular name in archaeology for a stone that is somewhere where it shouldn't be. Now, it's not a stone that's been carved or been sort of used for any purpose. It's a stone that a person has found and thought, this looks like a nice stone. Has taken it with them somewhere.
Wow. Or aliens.
It's not aliens, unless it's not white people.
Or dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I think that's a rule to get live your life by.
No, seriously. Okay, just quickly before we finish it, I need to get this little one in, right? Whenever you see people talking about aliens did it, ask yourself, are they saying aliens did it about white people? Or about not white people? I promise you it's about not white people, because the whole sort of like aliens are the one that did this, because how could they figure out the technology is racist. Easter Island heads, racist. Pyramids, racist.
Although I do like that one where people think that angels might be aliens, flying human aliens.
That is cool as heck.
Because those are just saying angels.
That's fine. That's cool. I'm good with that.
Angels might be any color.
Yeah. You know, that's... Wait, no, what? No, it's not the color of the aliens. It's the color of the people.
I know.
Okay.
So the angels might be any color. So, anyway.
Good to know.
Are there any alien theories about Stonehenge?
There are alien theories about all of those. Like,
wow.
Like,
Corey's argument crumbles.
No, there are alien theories about all those places. Yeah. But so often you hear, like, oh, we'd have no idea how they did this when we... There is, we have a fairly
we do know
idea.
Slavery.
Yeah.
Quite cut and dry. Yeah, crazy.
Not for the slaves.
No.
So that is it. Mostly now, there's one more thing that we've got to do.
Is it a quick fire quiz?
Quick fire quiz.
Dun, 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 dun. Uranium edition.
Okay, good. So the quickfire quiz is very simple. I will ask one question between the two of you, one question only. The first person to answer the question with the buzzing in to answer the question after I finish asking the question wins. What do they win, Jam?
I'm not sure I know the rules anymore. Absolutely nothing.
Doesn't matter. Luke, what's your buzzer? Poor taste. Jam, what's your buzzer?
That's a cat hissing at the nuke.
Yeah.
Just before it goes off.
How'd you get that?
Yeah, well, I like cats.
I don't like what's going on between you two here. So my question for you both is what was the width of the cubes? Oh, Luke, I think I'm going
to
go with you.
To be honest, I think Luke got that.
It was 2 inches.
It was.
2 inches, Luke, really? Jam, clip that. Hey, Luke, how long is your penis?
Perfect.
Thank you very much. It was two inches. At some point, probably.
Right now?
It was 2 inches.
Wads is the operative word.
Wow. Wads. I hate this toxic masculinity.
It's gone. He's lost it.
It's now 1.5.
Before we go, we would like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producers Ashley Miller and Finn TZ. And also, thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
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 You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
Follow me at Jampkin everywhere.
You can follow me at Luke Cutforth everywhere.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I've been doing this outro for almost 2 years.
I saw my water and I was like, I haven't drunk that yet.
Why would you drink it at exactly that moment? Goodbye.